And that brings us to the third position, which is by experiencing the full resonance of life. I love this one. By experiencing the full resonance of life. How deep is our immersion into the stillness? Have we moved beyond the recognition and receptivity of life to entraining with life, assimilating its properties, converting in accord with its ongoing newness, giving it full expression in our life, uncompromising presence in our being and experience? Have we decentrated to that expanded state, entered a realm beyond the parameters of the morphic field, beyond the imposition of its memory, a realm where no boundaries exist, where space is no longer experienced as a three-dimensional field in which bodies exert gravitational or electromagnetic force upon one another, but as a unified continuum in which all the forms of life cohere into a vital holographic community? If not, we would like to, for we can feel its promise deep within, the promise of living forever without running down or giving out, of surviving without the sacrifice of some other form of life. In that silent sanctuary which centers our being, we can feel the promise of our immortality, can feel it pulling us into that stable state of equilibrium where it can be found and experienced. Everything in us yearns for this state, yearns to live beyond the push and pull of galactic or earthly forces, beyond the corporeal sensors which cause us to be a conduit for these forces. Everything in us longs to be free. It is our constant prayer, one that must be granted. For the ability to restabilize is built into our very nature. We cannot escape it, even if we try. On some level, we are being drawn toward equilibrium, toward that transcendent state in which all boundaries disappear. In spite of our temporary agreement to be bound by the tenets of three-dimensional space-time, we can and will be free of it, extricated to that stable state in which space, as well as time, is no longer a construct to be reckoned with. The transformation is inevitable. For life, limitless life, that which by nature cannot endure confinement, could never condone a state in which confinement was of the essence, nor maintain one in which life needed to take on finite form in order to express. It is but the mask of corporeality which would seem to make it so. May the mask dissolve. Truly it is, and as it does, we discover the boundaries of our three-dimensional universe disappearing, breaking up as we draw closer into center. With each shift, the dimension's hold on us is diminishing, its gravitational electromagnetic force dissolving. The law of entropy, which has ruled its realm, that which has misinterpreted the draw toward equilibrium as a draw toward death, toward a state of stasis in which energy appears to become unusable, is redefining itself. The boundaries of time and space are giving way. Non-time, freeing us to unfold the progressive patterns of life without sensing the breakdown of former ones. Non-space, allowing us to live and move and have our being in a non-local field in which all of life's events are experienced as field events, each affecting and altering the life of that which resides in the field. In this field, where here is everywhere and everywhere is here. Life is lived without the aid of vibration or waves. Without electrical or psychic conductors transporting the life force from one locale to another, from one individual life form to another, every facet of the field experiences the impact of life's creative flow simultaneously. No part cut off, no part bypassed, as life impels its newness onto the horizon of experience. All is embraced, encompassed, included. Every element, every mode of operation, the entire arena of expression. No experience is independent of another, no event separate or solitary. All exists in a unified continuum, the force that shapes it one and the same. So as we move into equilibrium, into that balanced state in which polarity and corporeality have no part, decompressing from the stranglehold of three-dimensional space-time's physical forces, we find ourselves experiencing the boundlessness of being. Resurrected from corporeality, our local sense of life transfigured into a non-local presence, we experience the progressions of life in concert with every other form of life that makes up the universe. In this state of togetherness, this holographically unified state, we feel at home. We are safe, secure, integrally woven into the universal fabric of life, our life pure joy, pure bliss. Now you know I love that place value. It's just so comforting and so reassuring and so spaceless.
Linda, I'm sure you found this, but when you're doing something that's creative, you're in a totally different place.
You too. All of us here have that.
I think it's, I only experience when I'm doing sculpting.
Yeah.
I don't do it any other.
It's a freedom.
Yeah.
Right. So, what is the key here now? What is the key? If I go back to how we started, to experience the full resonance of life. By experiencing the full resonance of life, you can just feel that resounding quality of life that is everywhere. So I am experiencing that amazing resonance of life. And in order to do so, I really have to go deep, deep, deep within. And so that's the question here that started this out. How deep is our immersion into the stillness? Have we moved beyond the recognition of what life is, the receptivity of what life is, to actually entraining with life? You know, actually entraining and becoming one with that image of life, assimilating its properties. So I'm entraining with the character of life and I'm assimilating its properties, the properties of life we're talking about here, converting in accord with its ongoing newness. Now, life is always bringing something new. Am I converting in accord with that ongoing newness, or am I holding back to some degree? Am I letting it change me? Am I converting in accord with that ongoing newness? Giving it full expression in my life? Uncompromising presence in my being and experience? Have I decentrated to that expanded state? Have I expanded? So it's not just a focal point as in spirit, which seems to be a concentration.
Yeah.
It's a decentration. It's an expansion. Have I expanded my sense of life to that state? And that's the issue here. Have I gone beyond the imposition of morphic memory? You know, that there's a field that's created a morphic field that's created by all that memory. Have I broken the bounds of that and gone beyond that morphic field? Because honestly, unless we break those bounds, we cannot be free of gravity and electromagnetism. And, you know, all these years, well, it's anti-mag, it's anti-mag, it's anti-mag, animal magnetism. Well, that's only the belief that there is gravity and electromagnetism that pushes and pulls all of the various parts of the whole. And that to whatever degree, as life is impelling itself onto the whole, that if there is a sense of fragmentation, that some part of that whole is receiving part of it, and another is receiving another part of it, and then it's kind of pushing and pulling against itself, rather than the fact that it's all getting it simultaneously, that it's all taking it in simultaneously, that it's all altering simultaneously, and therefore it's a whole field event. And when it's a field event, there's no push and pull, because everything is doing it, and everything is resonating it, and everything is part of that resonance of life. Everything at the same instant is resounding all those wonderful qualities of life. And it's non-local. It's happening everywhere, all at the same moment. It's a very big concept. I don't know if I can, you know, really communicate it properly, but I'm trying. It's just so vast, and it's so big. It's really how we will find the freedom from gravity and electromagnetism, and from the push and pull from other people's vibrations. You know, you say, well, I walked in the room, I could feel the vibration in that room. I could feel the gross vibration in that room. Or I could feel the heavenly vibration in that room.
Well, was that a bad thing?
Well,
feel it all the time.
Yeah, Jane. But the thing is, am I feeling it with my spiritual senses, or am I feeling it with the psychic senses? Is it a mental psyche that's working, that is being sensitive to its physical surroundings and sensitive to vibration, whether it's physical vibration or mental vibration? Or is it my spiritual sense that is at work here, which is sensitive to spirit, which is sensitive to the life that is spirit, which is in this instance soul, that life which is spaceless, which is everywhere, which is boundless, which is beyond the morphic field? I wish to go so deep within that I contact that non-local, spaceless sense of my being that automatically is connected instantaneously with everything that makes up the universe. And to not feel that some message comes to me and then I give it out there to something else, or that some message comes to you and you give it to me. It's even a different sense of what we would call the family law. Because if you look at that family law from the metaphysical perspective, it appears as if A, that which I believe that I am, can, in receiving a quality from God, give it to myself and provide it for myself and flood myself with it and thereby give it to someone else, and that they can give it to themselves and thereby give it to me. And the same with truth, that we can claim it for ourselves and the other and so on and so forth. And that is amazing and wonderful, and I cannot tell you how many times I've done that law in one form or another. But that is the metaphysical approach to that law, because it still gives one the feeling that I can personally give something to you and you can personally give something to me. Whereas the reality of it is that life is impressing itself upon us all simultaneously and giving us all simultaneously what it is and what we are becoming. As a discovery and as a revelation, we are continually discovering our newness, because it is continually revealing it to us. But we do it as a field. We do it all together, all at once. Thereby, yes, it has to flow through us. Yes, we have to give it out. So from the higher standpoint, that law is just amazing. Because from the higher standpoint, we are giving that expression into the universe. But not from the standpoint that the universe needs it. It's our part of the symphony. It's our part of the chorus. It's our way of being, resounding. It's like it gives us all of this wondrous newness, and we just are it. And by being it, we are the resonance of it. It's because we are it that we automatically are the resonance of it. And collectively and universally, as we all do that, it makes this amazing life symphony and life song that sings itself and plays itself and so forth. And we are part of that non-local community. And so therefore it does so many things. Understanding it from this standpoint cuts off that sense of obligation I have to grasp something and to give it out. It cuts off anybody else's sense of obligation to grasp something and give it to me. But it does not cut out the joy and the wonder of expression, because life is expression. And therefore life does express. And it expresses individually as you and me, and it expresses collectively as all of us, and it expresses universally as the whole of being. And that expression cannot stop. That's part of life, and nothing can impede it. It is going to express. The secret here is how we interpret that. You know, am I interpreting it from some kind of localized perspective, or am I interpreting it from a boundless, free, non-local perspective that doesn't have a sense of push and pull in it? And I don't know. It's just a wonderful, vast subject. And as I say here, if I'm not really doing this, I really want to. I really want to go deep within enough to exemplify this resonance, because I can feel its promise. I can feel the promise of my own immortality, and I am quite sure that you can too. I am quite sure that deep inside of you, you can sense your immortal being, and that's the being that you want to exemplify continuously. It's the being that I want to exemplify continuously. And I really believe that that's such an innate part of us that everyone has the same sense of it. Really, truly the same sense. And the wonder here is that it handles, if I find myself in this stable state, this state where I'm not only in focus, but I am expanded to the point of absolute stability. I'm at absolute equilibrium. If I'm at equilibrium, then I can't wobble this way or that way. So therefore, all those distortions are out of the picture, right? If I'm not wobbling one way or the other, then that push and pull comes to an end also. It's just you're in this incredible sense of stability. Now, if we receive life, not only in focus, but in this stable state, then we're constantly new. You know, it's constantly impressing itself upon us. And that which we have misinterpreted from the standpoint of time and space as growth, maturity, age, death, whatever, as that time sequencing that, and I don't mean just us, I mean it can be what appears as a material object, this place value handles entropy. It handles the belief that anything can break down. And the point is that if I'm in that stable state, I will not experience the breakdown of the former moment. Let's see if I can do this well. If life is impressing itself upon us eternally, and that flow is constant and complete, then if I'm in focus, life is spirit, and I'm absolutely stable and at equilibrium, life is soul, then I am not looking back to see the breakdown of the former form. You see, we experience entropy because when life brings us something new, part of our being is looking back to see what we're letting go of. And as we look back to see what we're letting go of, it looks like entropy because it looks like that whatever it is dying or disintegrating or whatever. Well, it is dissolving. But if we stay in that nowness, in that here-ness, and we're just absolutely in that sense of stability where the new is just breaking forth and we are totally engaged. You hear that term, engaged as soul? Totally engaged in the new. We're not aware of anything breaking down. So we don't experience anything breaking down. Mm-hmm. And isn't that to be wished? I mean, gosh, I certainly don't like the breakdown of what appears to be the body. What a bore. I mean, this is absolutely true. I think that all of us can relate to that. We want to feel absolutely brand new every instant. Without the breakdown of anything, breakdown of relationship, breakdown of body, breakdown of business, breakdown of anything. If something's breaking down, check where you are. If something's breaking down, say, okay, I'm obviously somehow in a warp. And I'm caught in that warp, therefore I'm looking back and I'm focused on what I'm losing and on what's breaking down, rather than being focused on what I'm being given and what's new and what's real. And what I'm being given is what everyone is being given simultaneously. And we need to absolutely keep that in mind, that I'm not so privileged that the divine life looks down and says, oh, I'm going to give you life and forget about that one over there. I'm not going to give them life. It doesn't work that way. Being as life expresses itself in the totality of its being. And it doesn't cut itself off from any part of its being, nor not express itself in any part of its being. Therefore, it is totally and completely expressing itself everywhere, this instant. Everything in this entire universe, let alone this so-called planet, is brand new right now. It is brand new right now. And deep down inside of itself, it is so engaged that it is not destabilized and not focusing on what it has lost or what is breaking down, but only focused on the new that is being born within it right now. And it is entraining with it. That's the soul term. It's entraining with it, and it's keeping it, and it's holding it, and it's feeling its promise, and it's accepting it. And we can stand on that because of these laws here of life, truth, and love that are underlying this life as soul position, where it says, and I give to the entirety of the universe of my being that life which I am, that expression which I am. I give it to everything. The entirety of my being. The entirety of life's being is the entirety of our being. There is no other being. We've already understood there is no separate being. We've already eradicated duality. Life's being is our being. And it is giving it to the totality of the field simultaneously. What a treatment for the world to know this, to just know this. So as those boundaries of time and space give way, non-time freeing us to unfold the progressive patterns of life without sensing the breakdown of former ones. Non-space allowing us to live and move and have our being in a non-local field in which all of life's events are experienced as field events, each affecting and altering the life of that which resides in the field. and then I'll just redo E. In this field, where here is everywhere and everywhere is here, life is lived without the aid of vibration or waves, without electrical or psychic conductors transporting the life force from one locale to another, from one individual life form to another. Can you see? It's just simultaneously. It's everywhere, here, now. So you don't need conductors. You don't need those conductors. Because life is present everywhere. Now, all is embraced, encompassed, included. Every element, every mode of operation, the entire arena of expression. No experience is independent of another. No event separate or solitary. All exists in a unified continuum. The force that shapes it, one and the same. And what is that force? Life. So as we move into equilibrium, into that balanced state in which polarity and corporeality have no part, decompressing from the stranglehold of three-dimensional space-time's physical forces, we find ourselves experiencing the boundlessness of being. So there's the whole thing here. As we move out of polarity, what's that polarity? Anything that pulls us from pole to pole, right? Okay? And we stay in that stable state. And what pulls us from pole to pole faster than the corporeal senses? Okay? So we need to be in that stable state in which the physical sense testimony is as quiet as possible, and in which our spiritual sense is as active as possible. Because the more active our spiritual sense is, the more we'll be in touch with that non-local field in which gravity and electromagnetism play no part. And then there won't be an issue of handling animal magnetism. There will be no animal magnetism to handle. Because there can't be thought transference in a field where everyone's getting the impress of ideas simultaneously, and there can't be feeling transference in a field where everything is getting it simultaneously. So if we're in that non-local field where everyone's getting the information and the impress of spirit simultaneously, they're getting the influx of life simultaneously, corporeality has no part there. Spiritual sense is cognizant of that field. And that is our true field. And in that field, we feel safe and secure, and we are woven into the universal fabric of life, our life, pure joy, pure bliss.